So last week we talked about AI, right? Authentic inclusion, right? And to turn to the next slide, you remember what we said? If these guys can do it, you can too, right? If these two can get along, we can too. Amen. We're excited about what God's going to do through us. And so we encourage you, practice, practice, practice. We're going to be at you over and over again until you become one of these individuals that you can't help but just greet people and just love on people. Now, that was really strong, wasn't it? Amen. Thank you, Eli. Appreciate it. Amen. All right, today we're going to be talking about worship today. We will worship the Lord. That is a declaration of faith here today. We will be a church that worships the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit here today, go into some very practical things, why we do what we do, and we're going to go. You ready? Set, go. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 21, yes, they knew God. Let me just say they knew about God. Or maybe they even knew secondhand about God. But they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Isn't that a sad church that wouldn't come to worship him and to give him thanks? And it says, and they began to think. How many of you know that's dangerous when we begin to think? Right? All right? We need to know, not think that we know God. We need to know God. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. How many know if you're not in the Word, guess what? It's secondhand knowledge that you're learning about God. You need to be in the Word. You need to be in prayer. You need to be spending time with Him. Because when something comes along that is not kosher with the Bible, you should be able to recognize it just like that. We are to discern the truth. And the only way you know can discern a falsehood is to know the truth. Right? They tell you when you study for a test, don't study all the answers. Don't study the false answers, but only the true answers. So that when you see it, you recognize it. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. How many know this is happening in the world? How many know it's happening in our country? How many know it's happening in our state? How many know it's happening in our towns? It might be our next door neighbors. So they abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. And everybody said, amen. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We ask that what is said here today will kind of stir us up, encourage us, Lord. We're here, Lord, to kind of stir up the embers, as you told Timothy, to stir up that gift, to stir up the word, to stir up the praise, to stir up the worship, to stir up the evangelism that you've called us to, Lord. And so, Father, we're asking today that you just take over, that you will speak to hearts and minds today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So it is an obvious truth, if you're a reader of the Bible, that we are created to worship God. And the truth is, if we do not worship God, folks, we're going to be worshiping something. Because we have been created with a DNA within us to worship God. And if we don't want to worship God, there's going to be a substitute in his place. And so we need to beware. And so in Joshua 24, verse 15, this is kind of where my title of my sermon came from. It says here, he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So this word serve here means to work. It means to be a slave. And some of us have a hard time with that conception living in the New Testament times. But folks, we are bond servants. We are servants. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. He is our master here this morning. But in the New Testament, that word serve can also be defined as worship. And we're going to look at that a little bit here down the road here this morning. So if we were created to worship God, then we are left with a choice here today. We either worship Him or we do not worship Him. That's the choice that we have here before us. So if we look at this scripture, if you will put it, I don't know where you're at, if you back it up to the scripture in Joshua 24, if we change that word serving to worship, I don't think we do injustice to this verse. It says, if we worship the Lord, if worshiping the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will worship. And you can read the rest of the scripture yourself. But I don't think it's wrong to put that word in there. And so with that mindset, we're going to move forward here this morning. Our church vision states that we will and are or intending to bridge the gap between God and people. You put up our statement. It says, bridging community in Christ to bring hope, wholeness, and abundant life. That is our purpose. That is our church vision. This is what we want to accomplish. And the truth is, we cannot worship. I don't know what I'm going to say. Let's just move on from there. All right? How many know if you put notes in your sermon? Messes you up sometimes, right? All right. So that is our vision statement. Last week we had a connect verse. It's not on the screen, but we dream of a church where a healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding friendships. That's what we talked about last week. And for those that are our guests, those that are newer to our church, we will be having a fellowship time after the church. So please, if you thought it was another day, it's today. So please stay and fellowship with us. So our worship dream statement goes something like this. We dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience leading to contagious expression of freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. And so one avenue to bridge people to Christ is through our worship. How many know worship is a very important part of our services? And so we don't want to just leave it there as just worshiping at a given time in a service. We want to expand that a little bit here today. But we know that worship is a powerful medium. It is not an end to itself. And through the years, you come across people who think worship is more important than the preaching of the word. And that they would rather spend 45 minutes to an hour worshiping and only about 10 or 15 minutes preaching the word. That's a dangerous place to be. As you know that old song from B.J. Thomas, Hooked on a Feeling. There are a lot of people that are hooked on a feeling of worship, that feeling they get from worshiping God. It's a euphoria. It's something that makes them feel good. It touches their feelings. But I want to tell you today, that's not what we're here. We're not here to worship, but we're here to worship the King. We're here to worship Jesus Christ. And so we want to bridge people to Jesus Christ, not have a great worship session. How many know it was wonderful this morning? It was a great session this morning. But we're here to lift up Jesus Christ. So we need to teach people the meaning or the why of worship. We need to teach people the how of worship. I was raised in a mainline denomination, and after we got saved, we kind of jumped from one mainline denomination to another, seeking the Lord because we got saved. Not in a mainline denominational church, but because we got saved outside. And we just couldn't find our place within the church because there was no Spirit-filled churches in our area. And so if you're raised in a traditional church, you remember those church attendance boards? Those church hymn boards, and they would list the hymns on there. How many were there? Three. Yeah. Isn't that amazing that each one had three? I guess that was for the Trinity. I don't know. And somehow, someone down the road thought it was that God picked the organ as the anointed instrument to play those three hymns, right? And how many know that during those worship services, they were cut and dry? More than in one way, right? Right? They were cut and dry. There was no spontaneity. There was no surprises. And we didn't have to worry about the Holy Spirit interrupting the service. Woo! We don't want that, do we? We wanted the people in and out in what? How many hours? 1 hour, right? It was kind of a lube job, right? Christian lube job. Just come in, we'll change your oil, get out on the road. Amen. Hallelujah. That was anointed because that wasn't in my notes. So why do we want people to worship the Lord? Because, for one, it's life-changing. And it is part of our spiritual experience. It's important. It's an important aspect because what? God just doesn't suggest that we worship Him. He commands and says, I want to be worshiped. I want to be worshiped. So, we dream of a church where, all right? And so what we want to do is we want to create an environment when people come in that this is going to be a place they experience Jesus Christ. So, we dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience leading to contagious expression of freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. So, I'm going to use some of the phrases right out of this statement as my points to my sermon here this morning. The first one is that worship can be a powerful experience. Man, that's terrible. Worship can be a powerful experience. So, Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise to his name. So I hope you came in with that attitude this morning, that when we came in these doors, not the gates, these doors, that we came in with an attitude to praise him and to give thanks to him. So every time you walk in these doors, you are invited to have an experience with God. And today, I just want to kind of present this to you, that we cannot make you worship God. Sometimes we try to pump you. Sometimes we try to encourage you strongly to get involved in the worship service. But there is no coercion that will make you worship the Lord. So this morning, all we can do, as the group was up there singing today, we can only testify and model what it is to worship God. And so there are traditional models, there's contemporary models, and then there's the cutting edge models. There's all kinds of models out there how we can model worship. So what we want to do is we want to model and testify that when we worship God, God does something in us. Because we want God to do something through us. So when we gather together, what we are doing is we are inviting people to go into the throne room with us. Come boldly before the throne. We always think the only time we go into the throne room is to ask for something. But how many know sometimes it's great to hang out with people, right? You don't ask anything or require anything from them. You just want to be with them because you love them and you like hanging out with them. God has given us some books in the Bible that help us and talk about worship quite a bit. Psalms and Revelation. Read those two books and you will see that Revelation is very worship is very important to God. So I know that there are people with varying views of our worship here in the church. Some of you think it's great. Some of you think it's, and some of you think it needs a lot of help. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to go to another church. That has one of those things on the wall. How many know churches still have those things on the wall? And sit through one of their worship services. Because I guarantee when you come back, you'll say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you don't realize what you have there. In the multiple churches that Karen and I pastored, we were the worship team. So we are blessed, and when we come in here and the worship begins, man, it's euphoria to us. We are excited. Worship is important. It's important. In this statement, we said a powerful experience. And the truth is here today, that's a relative term. How many know that experience is relative? To each and every one in this place here today. It is depending on the individual here today. I don't know what your morning was like or what kind of mood you came in, what your morning was like, what you had to go through just to get out of bed to get here. I know you get up at 6, 7 in the morning to go to work, but you know it's really hard to get up on Sunday to go to church at 10. It's really difficult, I know. But I lost my place. We come in with mindsets and moods, but how many know that worship is a time to recalibrate? It is a recalibration time from the week that you had and getting ready for the week that is about to come. It is a recalibration time. So you can come into this church service and say, oh, that was a good worship set. It was okay. Or maybe you didn't even like the songs we sang. I like those songs. Thank you. Or we can be indifferent, which means we're just a spectator. So we can come to church and dismiss the worship experience and miss out on what God wants to do in us. I had a friend that we would go to church and they would have communion and he would let it pass by. So that kind of bugged me because he did it more than once. He did it a number of times. And I would ask him, why aren't you taking communion? He had accepted the Lord. But his excuse was, well, I don't feel worthy because I messed up. I'm not living the way I should. But how many know that is the very purpose of communion? Amen. It is the time when we recalibrate. Yeah. It is the time we come into church and say, yes, I did blow it. Yeah. But I recognize that Jesus' body was broken, his blood was shed, that I might be forgiven. Worship is the same thing. When we take that attitude, our hands are up, our arms are crossed, we're sitting down, we're not involved, then we're missing out on a very important element of our spiritual journey. Am I offending anybody yet? If not, hang on. All right. Something always happens when we encounter God. When we're in God's presence, something always happens. It can soften us and make us sensitive to the things of God, or it can harden us. You cannot stay neutral. You're either drifting one direction or the other. Most of us know that we've been through worship services where we kind of felt like we didn't get anything out of it. And then there was other services that, man, boom. Man, I needed that. The truth is today we get out of what we put in. He's not going to make you. But how many know that faith isn't, the answers to faith doesn't just come, but we step out in faith first. There's action. Sometimes we just got to raise the hand. Sometimes we got to clap the hands. Sometimes we just got to move a little bit. Sometimes we need to just say a hallelujah. Folks, we have a lot to play in this part. If you're not receiving anything from our worship service, I encourage you, start getting involved. Start getting involved. Worship can be a life-changing experience. That's what we've been talking about. There's some benefits. One, it opens our hearts to receive the word from God. How many know that? It primes our hearts and our minds to receive from the Holy Spirit. There's a story in the Bible where the people came to Elisha and said, hey, we want a word from God. And Elijah said, hey, bring out the worship team. They started playing. He got a word from God. Folks, if you're looking for a word from God, hey, a good place to start is in the worship. Yeah. Is lifting up his name and praising him. Secondly, it provides an opportunity to surrender. How many know when we raise our hands, it's a sign of surrender, right? Some of us are trying to be the boss. He wants to be the boss. And how many know when there's two bosses in the room, heads will knock, right? So we can't. The Bible tells us that the battle belongs to who? That's right. It's not our battle. Sometimes we take it upon ourselves to fight the battle, but guess what? We've got to give it back. He's the one who's fighting it for us. It's a realignment with God. How many know that sometimes we got to remind it that we are not God? He is God. He is God. And we are worshiping him because we recognize that he is God. What's good about this, one of the benefits, is that God reciprocates. As we bring forth the sacrifice of praise, what happens? He shares his presence. He shares himself. He shares his power with us. You know, the world is looking for a high. You hear on the news over and over again what crazy things people are doing for stimulation, for excitement. I'm telling you today, people are looking for God. They don't know they're looking for God, but we need to set an environment when they come in, they experience something. They experience that. My new word is euphoria today, if you haven't recognized that. They are looking for that in life. And if we can set an atmosphere where that's going to happen, folks, and when they're coming in looking and they're hungry, something's going to connect. The Spirit of God is going to connect the dots for them. Yes, it's euphoria. Hey, I got to say it again. It's my word. But it's also escapism. How many know that sometimes we just need to escape this world? And we just need to be in the presence of God. We need to be connected. So, it can be a powerful experience. We want it to be a powerful experience. The thing is, it has to begin with us. How can we expect somebody walking in the door to experience what we're not experiencing? Or to experiencing on the stage, but that we're not experiencing in the seats? We need to experience a powerful experience. The second one is in a contagious expression. Hallelujah. How many know that psychopaths and sociopaths don't show any emotions? Are you one of those? Come on. God has created us to be emotional beings. Yes, there is fact, faith, and feelings, right? The word of God is a fact. Faith, we stand on it, and the feelings come. And so those things are important. We need to feel. We need to express. We need to demonstrate. We need to get over ourselves. Some of you need to get over yourselves. I need to get over myself. We have the story in the Old Testament where David's wife, I don't know how you want to say it, Micah, Michal, whatever. We tried to listen to that online. We listened to some Jewish people pronounce it, and there's no way I'm going to pronounce it. So, all right. So this is King Saul's daughter, right, that married David. So we have this story where she looks out the window, and David is celebrating and worshiping the Lord as they're bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And he gets home, and she tells him off. Because what? She's embarrassed. She's embarrassed because David's display of worshiping the Lord. You know what she was? All she was a trophy wife. That's what she became. All right? I mean, what bragging rights do you have to say, hey, I'm married to the king's daughter? Right? Isn't that a trophy? Not everybody could be married to the king's daughter. But she became that. And what happened to her? She was barren, right? She never had any children of her own because she dismissed the importance of worshiping God. So when God shows up, something happens in us or to us, however you want to say it, and we can respond or we can fight it. And so obedience to the word is important. How many know that? And it creates an environment for God to move. So what does the word say about it? And you know these. I'm just going to go through some verses here and kind of remind you why we do what we do. How many know it's important to sing? Psalms 96, 1 and 2. Is she awake? There we go. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim what? His salvation day after day. How many are saved? We should be declaring the salvation of God. Not just because of the salvation of God, but as He helps us through all different things. He's not just the Savior of our soul. He's the Savior of every aspect of our lives. It says, clap and shout, Psalm 47:1. Clap your hands, all you. Shout unto God with. All right. Yep. Or a voice of triumph. Whatever version you have, right? Dance, Psalm 149:3. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with timbrel and harp. We are to bow and kneel before Him in Psalms 95:6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And some of you do that during some of our worship services. You come up and you kneel before the Lord. We raise our hands. And you won't find this in mainline stream. If you do that or you say amen, you may find the exit. Raise your hands, Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Praise. I put praise and play instruments because it's talking about raising our voice and playing instruments. The whole Psalm of 150, I won't read it. But the last verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Be still before the Lord. And this one's really hard. And I apply the most uncomfortable for people to do. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, there are times that we wait upon the Lord because we want to hear from the Lord. We want Him to respond to our worship. And for some people, that is very uncomfortable. Some people find themselves looking at their watch like, you know, the hour is almost up. That's why the clock's in the back. I get to watch the clock. Amen. But we need to be still in the presence of God. We want to hear His voice. It's a still, quiet voice, right? He speaks. And we do want the gifts to be in operation in our church. So if we jump to the New Testament, Colossians 3:16 tells us this. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish. This is kind of interesting. One another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So this word admonish means to warn, to reprimand. It means to advise or urge. It means to exhort or maybe simply encourage. So we encourage one another when we gather together, when we worship the Lord, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So worship isn't just about us. It's about the person next to you. You may be flying high as a kite, but the next person may be next to you may be in the basement spiritually. Yeah. Ephesians 5:18 says something similar, that we are to minister to one another. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. How? With psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So one of our responsibility as people of the Spirit is to be worshipers of God. Because even though we don't know we're worship or ministering, we're ministering. Because the person next to us may need to hear the words of that song, that words of encouragement. That went over. All right. Hallelujah. So what we picture is, worship goes beyond just the designated time in a church service. Who said it had to be there? You won't even find worship in the New Testament where they gathered and had a worship server and then they preached the word. All we know is they preached the word. So be glad you have some opportunity to worship, right? It could be like Paul, preached all night, the guy fell out of the window, right? Broke his neck, right? Ooh. All right, we'll move on from there. But it goes beyond just that moment in time in the service. It has to do with our obedience. It has to do with our lives. And it has to do with our service. So as I said earlier, the word service that we read in the Old Testament is a word that we use in the New Testament, but it also incorporates the idea of worship. So when we're serving God, it is actually worship to Him. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Romans 12, you know this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So as you're worshiping, you can wave now and then and let us know you're alive. Amen?
Amen.
All right? A living sacrifice. Not a dead one. All right? Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper service, some scriptures say, but the New Living says worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's good will, His good pleasure, and whatever. All right. It is God's will. And it is pleasing to Him. So our living sacrifices also have to do with our lifestyle. We are called to be living sacrifices. We are called to refrain from worldly behaviors. It's called holiness. It's called being an example. Worship can be what we do, and it can be what we don't do. A living sacrifice says, I'm willing to give this up, even though it may not be sin, at least in my eyes. But I'm willing to give it up as a living sacrifice to Him. Because I know if somebody sees me doing this, it may become a stumbling block. Some of us have come out of some bad backgrounds. And some of us know we can't do certain things and go certain places. Or hang out with certain people. We are to avoid even the appearance of evil, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So we want to expand that view of worship. It's not just coming in and singing songs, but how you live.
Amen.
Is worship unto Him. Hebrews 9:14, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your conscience from sinful deeds. Think about it. How much more? So that we can what? Worship or serve the living God. For the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You talk about a living sacrifice. Jesus' entire life was a living sacrifice. Folks, let's be that living sacrifice. Let's watch our deeds. Let our life be worship unto Him. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Good works, your good deeds, that they may worship, glorify, praise, honor your Father in heaven. How many know our worship is contagious, right?
Yeah.
We just got through COVID. How many know COVID was contagious?
Yeah.
So we should be a people of worship. We should be passing something on to those around us. Let's be contagious. My last point. A freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. Hallelujah. If I'm on Pastor Chris's time, I got half an hour yet. All right. Amen. A freedom and an intimacy in the Spirit. We want to develop a Holy Spirit-infused culture. We should expect nothing less, and we should never compromise who we are as Pentecostals. To allow God to move among us,
yeah.
To be able to have a freedom in the style of worship we want to worship. Worship is liberating. Worship is contagious.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, go to a sporting event.
Yeah.
They are worshiping.
Yeah.
Whether you want to identify with it or not,
yeah.
They are worshiping. Go to a concert venue.
Yeah.
They are worshiping. Whether they're rock and roll bands or a Christian artist. They are worshiping. And we had an opportunity, as you know, to go to the Steelers game. And there's no way you're just going to sit in the stands because you're just going to be looking at people's backside. And so, you know, the Steelers just can't win. They have to take it down to the wire. And so one of the most impressive things was to see those terrible towels. You know, we know them. You may own one. But when you're in a stadium and all you see is these yellow things lighting up the whole stadium, you can't help but pull it out and go, "Ooh, with them." And we did it. Hallelujah. We were in there around those people using four-letter words. We were in there high-fiving people with a beer in one hand and then slapping with the other. You can't help it. It's contagious. And that's what we want to do as worshipers. If we're not demonstrating, what are we passing on? We want to be contagious. We want people to be free. Worship is unifying. Two or more gathered in my name, he is there. He is there. Man, we want to worship. We want him here. It refocuses our attention upon God, his nature, and his promises. Hallelujah. Hopefully, the songs that we sing are scriptural, right? They build us up. The worship team leads us. They're not there to coerce us. Sometimes we over-encourage you to worship, but it's because we want you to experience what we're experiencing. It creates an environment of intimacy. What is amazing is that even though we're here as a group, and how many know it is, I don't want to say funner because we have an English teacher, more fun to worship with people than by yourself. Yeah. I mean, there are those moments that you just pour out your heart to God, but it is a greater atmosphere when we are worshiping with other people. But what's incredible to me is that even though you are in a congregation of people, shoulder to shoulder, you are individually in intimate relationship with the One. Isn't that amazing? That's why we want to create an atmosphere. We want people to discover that intimacy, to experience that one-on-one moment with God. Because how many know we all need that? It is a faith builder. Again, lyrics based on scripture helps build our faith. It is a lifeline. It is a lifeline. Sometimes we need to worship God because we are in a black place, a dark place. And we know the story of Paul and Silas in prison. They were beaten. They were put in the inner prison. Their feet and their hands were in stocks. And man, I can't imagine what they were feeling, what they were experiencing at that moment. But in spite of all that, what did they do? At midnight, they began to worship God. Hallelujah. And we know that that worship changed their situation. We do. It changed that night from being in prison to being in the jailer's house. Cleaned up, fed, having a revival service, seeing them saved. Taking them out and getting them baptized. But we also know that when we worship God in those moments, sometimes it just changes us and not necessarily our circumstances. It changes us. We're always looking at the changing of the circumstances, but God's always looking at the changing of our hearts. Changing us. So, yes, sometimes it's outward change. But most of the time, it's inward change. It is. So, we dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience leading to contagious expression of freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. Some of this will come automatically by just picking it up, watching others. But some of it has to be learned. Some of it has to be taught to us. It is a mindset, but it is also a choice. And so I want to steal Joshua's words one more time and close with that scripture here today. I want to change the word serve to worship. But if worshiping the Lord seems undesirable to you, you come to church for the purpose of meeting with God. Why? It's to worship Him. If it's undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day. Every day you walk into the presence of God, into His congregation, you make a choice. You will choose whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And how many know we're living in a very ungodly world? The United States is a very unsanctified place. But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. So, I just want to make this our confession here today. Can we make this our confession? But for me and my church, we will worship the Lord. We will worship the Lord. Can we say it together? But as for me and my church, we will worship the Lord. Father, this is our confession of faith. What's amazing is we have called your church a house of worship. And so, Father, we don't want to fall short of that title. Because we want people to discover how wonderful and incredible you are. They're not seeing it in the world. They're not experiencing it. They're looking for that excitement. They're looking for that thing that's going to fill them and fulfill them and complete them. And they're trying everything under the sun to fill that void, which can only be filled by you. Lord, we want to fill that place today with you. We purpose this morning, but as for me and my church, my family, my friends, my whatever, Lord, today, we're going to be determined to worship you. I don't know where you fall in all this. Just wanted to remind you why we do what we do, because it's obedience to the word. Psalms is not a book of suggestions. If you notice, they are basically statements of fact. They are mandates to sing unto the Lord, to lift up your hands in the sanctuary, to dance before the Lord, to kneel before our God. It's not something we have to coerce, but Lord, when we get touched by you, we can't help but do it. Lord, we want every person in this house who's listening online, Lord, to know the intimacy of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're kind of falling short of the mark, rededicate your heart here this morning and say, Lord, I know I've come up short, not just in a worship service, I'm not just talking about that, but in my life. That there are things in my life, Lord, that aren't glorifying you. Lord, we come to that place today, Lord. We confess. If you're here today and you need to make some confessions, I don't need to hear them. I'm not your mediator. Jesus is. Take it to Him this morning in prayer. Lord, I blew it. I messed up. I sinned. Make it right this morning. Make it right this morning. Hallelujah. Because He wants to make you right. He wants to make you holy. If we confess our sins, our faults, our failures, our mistakes, He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. We can walk out of this building today clean because of what Jesus Christ has done. But we don't have what we want because we don't ask. Humble yourself this morning before God and say, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness. Maybe this morning you need his reassurance. Maybe you're going through some circumstances and it's like, where are you, God? Maybe you need that reassurance, that touch here this morning. They're going to sing a song of dedication here this morning, of just consecration. And I'm just asking you, as we're going through this, and you can sing the words, but if you need to do business with Jesus this morning, do business with Jesus. Don't be like my friend and put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we are forgiven. Today is the day we're healed. Today is the day we're delivered. Today is the day we make the commitment. Today. It's a powerful word. But let it be your reality today. Today's your day to walk out who? Renewed, recalibrated, regenerated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.